Welcome to Walk in the Spirit, an expository teaching of God's Word. Walk in the Spirit is the audio outreach ministry of Pocatello Baptist Church. It is our prayer and desire that with the help of this message, we all will learn to walk in the Spirit.
Hey, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Psalms chapter 1, or excuse me, there are no chapters in Psalms. Psalms 126 is where we're going to be. That's one of those little homiletic things that they tell you about after they take the points off, that there's no chapters in Psalm, by the way. It's just Psalms. So, hey, that's where we're going to be this morning, Psalm 126. And while you're turning there, I will say, is there not a cause in our day and age to stand and preach the gospel? Is there not a cause in our day and age to have, just like Mr. Jordan and myself, and we're not trying to brag on ourselves, but we do want to brag on MBT. It's a great program. We're glad that you guys have went with MBT for this year. But there's more evangelists. There's some 20-something other teams traveling the country preaching the gospel this week. It's a great. Is there not a cause to get out and preach the gospel, to share what thus saith the Lord, and to share what the Bible has to say? It's a great thing. And so we are excited for that. But this morning, I simply want to say that we all must remember what God has done for us. And after all, it wasn't it God that sent somebody to send somebody to your life to share the gospel with you, and did it not change your life? The Bible says in Psalms 136, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, there's nothing good that I can say this morning apart from God being with us. And so I want to pray simply real quick, but I also hope that you'd pray in your heart, that God be working in your heart and in your life as well as in mine. Let's go to him in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done for us, Lord, for all that you've given to us, and Lord, for the opportunity that we have today to learn more about you. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have to be in your house, around your word, with your people. Lord, we ask for encouragement. Lord, we ask that we learn something new from your word, that not a one of us would leave the same as we came in this morning. And Father, we just ask and pray that you'd work in each one of our hearts. Lord, hide me behind the cross, and Lord, empty me myself, and fill me with your Holy Spirit's power. Father, thank you. God, you've been so good, and Lord, we love you. We thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The story is told of two farmers who are facing some hard times in the middle of a drought. They got together and they decided that they were going to pray and ask God to do a work and send some rain. So they prayed, and immediately after the prayer, the one farmer took off and started preparing his field. With what water he had left, he began to water his crops, and he began to plant the seeds that he had. He began to fertilize the field with what he had left. While the other man simply wasted exactly was doing before, just kind of sitting around, squandering the time that he had, complaining that there was no water. This cycle was repeated for some time over the course of a couple days until God sent rain. The man that had been preparing his fields had crops that flourished and grew up. They were great. All of his needs were met, while the man that wasted his time had crops that had withered away, that had went to nothing. See, the outcome for these men was drastically different. God did do the work, and he was willing to do the work, but it mattered which man prepared for it. The question I have for you this morning is, how can we better prepare ourselves, our lives, for what God wants this week through Neighborhood Bible Time? How can we better prepare our hearts and our lives for what God wants to do here at Pocatello Baptist Church? I have simply three things that we need to remember. The first, and Pastor was right, this will certainly preach. The first thing is found in verse number 1. We need to remember our deliverance. The Bible says in verse number 1, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we are like them that dream. What's happening here in our text is that God's people, Israel, Jerusalem, was delivered from captivity. The people from whom Israel was delivered is not clearly known in this passage. It's not seen, it's not told, as well as the author is not known. But there's much speculation that it was from the Babylon around 586 when King Cyrus of Persia had conquered the Babylonians. Again, the author is not known in this passage, but again, much speculation says that it was the man Ezra, the high priest Ezra, who wrote this passage around 540 BC. And really what we have here is he's giving us a picture of the rejoicing and the joy that they had when they were delivered. Their deliverance from bondage and oppression of this people group from Babylon caused much rejoicing throughout the whole nation of Israel. In Ezra 3, chapter 3, verse 13, we read that there was so much rejoicing in the land that when Israel was delivered, that the people could not discern from the noise of the shout of joy, from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. These people were praising God for what he had done. They were praising God for the deliverance that he had provided. But it didn't stop there. Verses 2 through 3 says, Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, The Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us. Whereof we are glad. The rejoicing was so great that it poured over into a proclamation of what God had done for them. There was much singing and much laughing at God's goodness. Folks, Matthew Henry, in his commentary of this passage, says that Israel's return out of captivity is typical of our redemption by Christ. There ought to be much rejoicing. There ought to be much singing over what God has done for us. Our deliverance and salvation ought to cause much joy in our lives. There ought to be singing and laughing and much praising God for what He has done. There's no one else that can deliver us from the bondage that we are facing apart from Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 57, But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 through 10, But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Christ has delivered us from the bondage that we are facing, that ought to cause much rejoicing. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4 says, Who, that is Jesus, gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. There is no hope being in bondage. Israel had no hope when they were in bondage. They were under oppression. They had no hope. Folks, we have no hope when we're before we were saved. While our spirit was tied to the old man, that's before salvation, we had no hope in ourselves. But when we accepted Jesus Christ in our heart, He came and lived inside of us. He came and separated the old man from our spirit and replaced it with the new man. And so He made us joint heirs with Christ. He gave us what Jesus has. He put in us the righteousness of Christ, and our spirit longs after God. It's an amazing thing. When the Lord set them free, Israel, He restored their hope and gave them reason to sing. That's certainly a picture of believers today. We are delivered from a bondage and from oppression of the old man. But God, if we're here today and we're saved, we're on our way to heaven, God has delivered us from that old man. And it ought to cause much singing. It ought to cause much rejoicing. People are looking at us and saying, what's your source of joy? Where do you get your joy from? It ought to cause much rejoicing in our own hearts and our lives. One of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. The Israelites had joy because the Spirit of God was with them. The Bible says, turn again, O God. That's evident that God was working in their midst. God had already done something, and so they're asking God to turn again, do something again. We have the Spirit living inside of us. How much more joy ought that to cause? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? How much more joy ought we to have, because God lives inside of us? The second thing that we need to remember is we need to remember that there are more. Look at verse 4. The Bible says, Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. The psalmist's prayer was that God would turn again. Turn again for those in bondage. Turn again for those who are still in captivity. Turn again for those who are still under oppression. We need God to turn again. Certainly in our churches here today, in our youth groups here today, in our cities here today, we need God to turn again. We need God to be working again. We need God. There is still more that need to be set free. There is rejoicing in Jerusalem while their own Jewish brothers were in a foreign country under oppression. Certainly within the walls of our own church here today, there's rejoicing, and that's a great thing. We ought not stop rejoicing, that's for sure, but we do need to remember that there are more outside of these walls that still need to hear the gospel. We have the responsibility to go and share it with them. God has given us the hope of the gospel to go share it with others. There are more that need to hear. The gospel is obviously the greatest message that we've ever heard. the greatest message known to mankind. The Bible says that he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. But he did not stay dead. He rose up 3 days later, and he gave us the hope, and that's where our hope is found. That's the message that we are to take to the whole world. That's the message that we are to preach. That's where we get our hope. There is laughing and singing inside of our camp, and that's a good thing, but we do need to remember that there are more. The Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest." Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, a very familiar passage says, "Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Guys, there are people waiting to hear the gospel. There are people waiting to get saved. There's people waiting for you to go preach the gospel to them. There may be people that will get saved because you shared the gospel with them. David Livingston was a man that was born to be successful. He was born in 1813 and raised in a humble Scottish home. And at a young age, he set his heart on achieving success by becoming a medical doctor. He supported himself through college and was accepted into medical school in London. Livingston graduated with honors, but not before his life goals would be rearranged by the words of one Dr. Robert Moffat. While a student in London, Livingston had the opportunity to hear a message preached by a missionary doctor from Africa named Moffat. Moffat reported in his sermon, "I have sometimes seen in the morning sun the smoke of a thousand tribes that have yet to hear the gospel." These words burned in Livingston's heart, ultimately compelling him to give up his small ambitions in order to join Dr. Moffat as a missionary in Africa. David Livingston served the next 30 years of his life as a missionary and explorer in Africa. He traveled over 29,000 miles preaching the gospel, providing medical services, building churches, and mapping the vast African continent. David Livingston was motivated by the fact that there were still more people that needed to hear the gospel. He remembered that there were souls that needed to hear the gospel message, and he took advantage of the opportunity that God had given him to go reach them. Christians today, we need to remember that there are more lost souls in this world that need to hear the gospel. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, "How then shall we call on him in whom we have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Where would you be today if somebody had not shared the gospel with you? If somebody said, "No, I'm too busy." If they said, "No, it's not important enough to me to go." No, somebody else will share the gospel with them. God gave the church for the edification of those who already believe. But he gave you his Spirit, and he gave you his salvation so that you can share it with others. Through Livingston's time in Africa, thousands of souls came to salvation. However, his service did not come without a cost. He was once attacked by a lion on the mission field, crushing his shoulder to the point that its mobility would be hindered for the rest of his life. He lost both the child as well as his wife to sickness on the mission field. He gave up all the comforts that he could have had if he had not gone to Africa. And after all this, here's what Livingston had to say about the price he paid to live as a missionary in Africa. He said this, "People talk of the sacrifice I have made in spending so much time in Africa. Can that be called a sacrifice which is simply paying back a small part of a great debt owed to our God, which we can never repay? Away with the word in such a view and with such a thought. It is emphatically no sacrifice. Say rather, it is a privilege." Folks, it's a privilege to share the gospel. God has given it to us. We that are saved here today, we have God living inside of us, and it's our responsibility now to take the gospel to others. So how can we better prepare ourselves for what God wants to do here in Pocatello Baptist Church? For what God wants to do here this week at Neighborhood Bible Time? We first need to remember our deliverance. Secondly, we need to remember that there are more. And lastly, we need to remember that there are, remember our responsibilities. The Bible says in verse 5 and 6, "Then they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Folks, we have a responsibility to pray for more laborers. We have a responsibility to preach the gospel. We have a responsibility to be sowing the seeds, sow the seeds of the gospel. Notice here in our passage that the psalmist did not tell Israel that they are to be sowing. That was already assumed. But rather, the passage here tells the Israelites and the people here in Jerusalem how to sow. He says to sow in tears. I believe that this is because sowing can be difficult at times. There is much work and great labor that goes into sowing. So in a practical sense, the psalmist says to sow even to the point that it's in tears, or there will simply be no reaping. If a farmer were to give up when things got tough, when the situations around him got hard, if he were to quit when he got tired, there would be no reaping. It's the same for us, Christians. It's the same for us here today. We have a certain responsibilities in our sowing that we must be fulfilled, or there will be no reaping. The first is that we are to pray for more laborers. Jesus commands us in Matthew chapter 9, verse 38, again, the same familiar passage, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." We're supposed to be praying for laborers. It is our responsibility to be praying for more laborers to be sent to the world. However, it is my personal belief that this prayer be prayed with the heart that is willing to go. I believe it's a greater responsibility to be praying this with a heart that would be willing to go to reach more. This doesn't mean that we need to go in a foreign country. It doesn't mean that we need to be a missionary. But if we were to just look outside the windows of our houses or the places that we stay or the walk up and down the streets that we're around, we'd certainly see the mission field. We'd certainly see the harvest field is ready. The second responsibility that we have is found in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. The Great Commission. Jesus commands us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It is our responsibility to be preaching the gospel. And in either of these commandments that he's given us, he didn't make it an option. He simply told us to go. That's our responsibility. Folks, remember the responsibilities that Christ has laid out for us. We are to be praying for more laborers, and we also are to be preaching the gospel. How are we doing with the responsibilities he has given us? How are we doing it praying for more laborers? How are we doing it being willing to go, willing to share the gospel? How are we doing it preaching the gospel like he's commanded us to do? We too are to sow in tears if we are to reap the joy that seeing souls saved will bring. When the work gets hard, when it gets difficult to labor, just keep going. Just keep preaching. Just keep praying. Just keep sowing, and God will give the increase. Notice verse 6. The Bible says, "He that goeth forth weeping and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." There is a reward for those who labor. It is a reward for those who won't quit when sowing in tears becomes reality. The reward is this: they will come again with rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. God has given us another day to pray for laborers. He's giving us another day to preach the gospel. How are we doing? How are we doing at fulfilling our responsibilities? Folks, today I simply want to say that if we remembered our deliverance, if we remembered that there are more souls that need to hear the gospel, and if we remembered our responsibilities, we can be better prepared for what God wants to do here at Pocatello Baptist Church.
Thank you for studying God's Word with us on Walk in the Spirit. To hear more of this or other portions of Scripture, please visit www.PocatelloBaptistChurch.com, or you can write us at 190 West Chapel Road, Pocatello, Idaho, 83201. If you live in or are visiting Southeast Idaho, we would like to have you join us here at Pocatello Baptist Church for any of our services. Our service times begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m., Sunday worship at 10 a.m., and Sunday evening study at 5 p.m. We have a midweek study and prayer service for both adults and youth on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Child care is available for all of our services. For more information or directions, please call us at 208-237-4915. Until next time, God bless you as you walk in the Spirit.